Let's pray together. A gracious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. May we all understand your word and your word alone. Your teacher, whom is the Holy Spirit. And may we all listen with ears ready to hear and hearts ready to treasure your word and your word alone. In Christ's holy name. Amen. We use a lot of pseudonyms, or we use words that to sort of mask the difficulties of life. And sometimes we use words that are confusing. Sometimes we don't like the word death. So we'll come up with a euphemism. We'll say passed away. Whatever we might say. But we talk about loss. And we talk about that our grief is a result of our loss. And I'm going to suggest to you, based on the teachings of Scripture in general and based on the teachings in particular that Brandon read from 1 John 3, that our grieving is not because of our loss. Our grieving is because of our connection. See, I remember quite well that not all losses cause grief. In a time far ago and far removed, so don't try to look at previous addresses of mine and identify the person, but I remember a neighbor who was quite obnoxious and quite loud and quite demanding and quite ever-present. You couldn't avoid him. You couldn't escape him. You wanted to come home in the middle of the night and sneak in your own backyard so that you wouldn't have to enter. Have you ever had a neighbor like that? And I found out he was moving. And there was a loss. And there was no grieving at all on my part. See, we grieve not because of the loss. We're grieved because we're still connected. And power and death does not have the power to separate us from the love of God, we're told. Or from the love that in the love of God we're created as one. And that's why it's painful. We didn't lose them. They didn't go away. The painful part of grieving is that they're here. We are one. We look at that and we see in 1 John 3, if you'll turn there, that we have this privilege of being God's children. But God has only one Son, namely Jesus Christ, but He has a multitude of children. You may like to think that you are God's only child, but like Elijah, thinking he was the only one remaining, let me remind you, God's got a lot of children. Now, you may be his favorite, but he has a multitude of children. And here's what we understand in Scripture. That, and Jesus prayed in John 17 in that high priestly prayer. The same unity that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have, we have, created by God, by Christ on the cross, we have not only with the Godhead, but we have with each other. We're not just members of a club. We're not blood brothers and sisters. We're not in the same fraternity or sorority. We're not connected by the same affinity. We're not here because we like one another. We're here because when Jesus Christ gave His life, He created a church, a body. And we are as connected to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. So when one goes to the church victorious before us, there's pain, there's grieving, quite natural. Not because there's loss, but because that connection which we have cannot be severed. See, we see in verses 1 and 2 that the privilege of God's love is we are called the children of God. And I love the phrase in the end of verse 1. And I would ask you to remember this not only for yourself, but for those names that we've read and for those that you love. That we are called the children of God, and that phrase, and so we are. This isn't fictitious. This isn't some title. This isn't a good concept. John is saying, I'm calling you a child of God because that's what you are. We're family. And death doesn't bring loss. It brings this separation, this divorce between where we are now, caught in time and space, and where those who are equally the children of God are. And we long for that day where we will be reunited. John already has addressed this concept of the children of God in his gospel when he says that through Christ Jesus we are given the authority to be his children. Yeah. I have three siblings. And if you're an only child, you'll have to sort of pretend on you. But if you're not an only child, you have ample evidence. Have you ever looked at your siblings and thought, we had to have different parents? Have you ever thought, have you ever noticed other people and said, how could two people come out of the same unit and be so different? Now, is this just me, or do some of you know what I'm speaking about?
Yeah.
But you know, with all the differences, with all the disagreements, with all the fighting and conflict that can exist, there's one thing that those siblings have. They didn't earn it, they didn't create it, and it can't be taken away. They share the same nature. And Peter tells us, as we're walking through life, we have the divine nature. Paul tells us that he's laboring, he's travailing in labor until Christ is formed within us. And I would suggest to you that the way that Hebrews 10 points out how Christ is formed in us is that when we wrestle with those who have the same nature. You've heard me say before, and I say it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, so those who pick our music or don't take me too seriously on this. But there's a particular hymn I don't care for, or a song that I don't care for much. It says in the line, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. You know that? I think it's a Bill Gates song. And I know it must be the presence of the Lord. Well, there's a difficulty with that I have. That sweet, sweet spirit might be just because we like each other. It might just be a sweet spirit because we all just hit the lottery. It might be a sweet spirit because our team just won. Maybe it's a sweet spirit because we've been imbibing too much. The sweet spirit could come from a lot of things. Just because it's a sweet spirit doesn't mean it's the presence of the Lord. And thanks be to God, the opposite of that is true. When there's a contentious spirit, when there's deep-seated difficulties, when there are issues that have to be worked out, when there's pain, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't go away. For it's not based on our existential experience of it. It's based on it was created by God when He made us His children. He made us who we are. And because He made us who we are, we can know that He's with us. For it says in the verse 3 of the passage that Brandon read that when we see Him, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope is being purified. See that at the end of the day, there is pain. At the end of the day, we do walk a path that tends to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But we need to understand that the pain is because there's connection. I want to close by reading what Jen read to you. And it's from a paraphrase. paraphrase is simply a commentary on the scripture. But it describes the life of the children of God. It describes what we should look like. It describes who we are as children of God. Not just me, but all of us. And it's the paraphrase of Matthew 5 from Eugene Peterson's The Message. I'd like you to hear the Beatitudes again from this paraphrase. This is what Christ taught. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of God, let me begin that again. You're blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart, put right by God. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me, Jesus would say. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do, says Jesus, and all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. We come together, brothers and sisters, confessing that we are the children of God through Christ, and we are connected to all of us, regardless of being here or there, for we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I'd ask you to stand. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Brothers and sisters, let us confess our one faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and redeeming God, in Adam, Abraham, and Moses, and Deborah, Esther, and Mary, you have chosen not simply to direct the course of events, but to be in relationship with us and to entrust your children with the embodiment and exercise of your will. In the dying and rising Christ, you gave us not just a Savior, but an example. And in every generation, you call people to imitate the pattern of His life and death, and so witness to your glory. You call us to be not heroes who go it alone, but saints whose every breath depends on others and on you. We rejoice that those saints take their place in the company of heaven, with whom we join in singing the unending hymn of your joy and praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, go down in the highest. Blessed
Blessed is she who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Transforming God, in this gathering you take the fruit of the vine in human hands and make them a blessing for your people now and forever. As our earthly bodies decay and die, and resemble your Son's body taken down from the cross, send your Spirit and remake us in your image of your Son's resurrected body, that our scars may become signs of your glory, and our hearts may be one with you. Sanctify this bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with the disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again."
Resurrecting God, bless those who mourn that they may be comforted. Bless the poor in spirit that they may inherit the kingdom of heaven. Bless the pure in heart that they may see you. Visit those whose death amid persecution and violence, that they may know the gladness and rejoicing of your kingdom. Be close to any who end their days in agony and isolation, that they may enter the joy of their reward. Where your children feel all is lost, meet them in their fear. Touch them in their loneliness and raise them by your mercy, so that on the last day when you bring a new heaven and a new earth, they may discover you in an infinite circle, where whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, and be changed from glory into glory with you and by you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Father offers this table to us, given to us in the presence of our enemies. A cup that's running over. Bread that is the healing of our souls. For he is the host of this meal in the sense of calling us, but he is the host of this meal in the sense of giving us his real presence, his real blood. And we thank you. So, because this is the Lord's table, offer it to all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth. Come forward. Betsy will be over to my left if you have special needs or prayers. This is the Lord's table. Let us come together. Thank you.